Just by show of hands, how many of you have, like, you know, a garden in your backyard or on the side of your house, or even just like a few plants that you plant in your windowsill or something like that? A few of you do. Okay, quite a few. All right. That is something that I have never done. I know, like, growing up, my grandparents had this huge, huge garden, and if I could, you know, there were times that my grandma was, you know, come help me in the garden. Man, if there was something else I could figure out to do besides go help in the garden, I would. That's just something that I never really did. I remember several years ago, I think not too long after Christy and I got married, and her dad built some boxes for tomato plants, right? Isn't that right? I need some confirmation. That's right. Okay. He made these boxes for some tomato plants, whatever happened, now this man could build anything, could do anything with his hands, but for some reason, he just didn't get a bumper crop of tomatoes that year. And I remember him saying something to the effect of, you know, with all the tomatoes that it produced, between building those boxes and all the you know, the dirt and all the work that he did, all the labor they put into it, that those tomatoes cost him about $20, $25 a piece. With all the financial investment they put into it. I don't know if that's the same way with you guys or not. Maybe you're getting a better return for your effort and your money on that. I don't even know. I'll be honest with you guys. I don't even know what is ripe right now. What is ripe for the picking right now? What are we growing? I know there's stuff that's grown that comes in later on in the summer, but what's coming out right now? Cucumbers. Okay. So, huh? What was the other one? Tomatoes are coming in right now? Okay, very good. All right. This is not anything that I ever knew anything about. Never paid a whole lot of attention to. Just, you know, when it was there, I ate it. So that's all that I really, you know, was aware of. I wonder how many of you guys, when you got your gardens, when you got your plants that you grow, maybe, you know, flowers, maybe you do more just like the trees and the flowers and the landscaping. When things grow, when you pick your tomatoes and your cucumbers, when you get everything, all your shrubs and flowers pruned and looking pretty, what do you do with it? I mean, do you just stand there and admire it? Obviously, you pick the vegetables, but what do you do with those? Do you call people? I know some people bring grocery sacks full of vegetables they grow in their garden to church or to their workplaces and, like, just hand them out to other people, go give them to the neighbors. Do you post pictures on social media and just brag on, this is what I grew, look at what I did? Or maybe a combination of all the above? I mean, think about what it is that you do with the stuff that you plant, with the stuff that you produce. What is it that you actually do with it? You eat it, right? Or, I don't know, you just sit and admire it, or you ask other people to come and take a look at it. You know, there's lots of different things we do. My guess is that almost none of us do what the ancient Israelites did with their crops and the things that they produced. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. So we started talking, as Reagan said a few minutes ago, started talking about holy days a few weeks ago, and specifically looking at a list of holy days that are mentioned in the book of Leviticus in chapter 23. And so if you got your Bibles, you can turn there. If you got your Bible apps, you can scroll there. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Those first five books of the Bible talk about the history of God's people, and Exodus through Deuteronomy specifically talk about God's people as they came, as they found themselves enslaved in Egypt. God set them free. God brought them through a wilderness and protected them, provided for them, and brought them to the land that he was going to give them, the land that they referred to as Canaan, the promised land. And so in Leviticus, we find a whole bunch of different, like, rules and regulations and rituals that God gave to his people and to his priests and said, when you get to the land that I'm giving you, here's what I want you to do. Here's some ways to live the lifestyle I want you to live. Here's some of the traditions that I want you to keep. And Leviticus chapter 23 specifically gives us a bunch of days that God kind of, in essence, says, circle these on your calendar. Make these important days in your calendar. Every single year, I want you to observe these special occasions, these special events. And that's what we've been going through. And so we talked about the Passover. We talked about the meal that the Israelites would eat every year to remember how God rescued them from Egyptian slavery. We talked last week about the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which is connected to the Passover, and talked about how God continued to want his people for an entire week to get all the leaven, all the yeast out of the house and kind of purge some things out of their lives and be ready to fully participate in the life that God was providing for them. So we're going to continue to talk about these holy days again today with the next one that's on that list there in Leviticus chapter 23, which is the feast, or maybe some of your translations say the festival of first fruits. And some of your Bibles will even have that, or, you know, maybe even if you type it out on your computer, it'll tell you it's misspelled if it's one word. Some translations make it all one word, first fruits. Some say two words. I don't think it matters. It's this feast, this festival, this celebration of first fruits. Now, what is that? What are the first fruits? Well, to put it simply, it's the first things that are produced from what you planted, the first crops that you harvest, whatever it is that you've been planting, whatever it is that you've been waiting for it to grow, and now it sprouts, and now it's growing, and now it's ripe. As soon as it's ripe and ready to harvest, you bring the first of that to God. Here's how God describes in Leviticus 23, beginning in verse 9, goes in verse 9 and 10. It says, the Lord said to Moses, speak to the Israelites and say to them, when you enter the land I'm going to give you, and you reap the harvest, bring to the priest a sheaf of the first grain that you harvest. So God said, I want you, when you get into this land that I'm giving you and you plant crops, the first time that you harvest, the first batch of that harvest, I want you to bring it to me. You're supposed to bring it to the priest. And if you keep on reading the verses after that, they won't be on the screen, but God goes ahead and gives kind of instructions for what that was supposed to look like. And more than likely, if we understand kind of the way things were grown in this part of the Middle East back in this time, probably that first harvest, that first grain that was brought was probably barley. That would be the first thing that would come. It would come in the springtime. And basically, you would harvest that, and you would take a whole bunch of it, and you would take it to the priest, and either you or the priest would wave that before God. So you'd come to the tabernacle, the worship place, and you'd take this sheaf of grain that you had harvested, and you wave it before God. And in essence, you're saying, God, I am acknowledging, I am pointing this to you, I am reaching this out to you, and I'm saying, this, I am offering this to you. This is yours. I'm giving this to you. And it's not necessarily that God needed his people to wave barley in the air. It was a physical reminder for his people to say, I'm giving the first of what my land has produced. I am offering that to God. And as you go ahead and continue to read through those instructions, you have this wave offering. Then you would take that grain that you had brought to the tabernacle, and you would also offer an unblemished lamb and some flour and some oil and some wine. And there was this whole process where you would offer that, and you weren't allowed to eat any bread that was made from your newest harvest until you had made this sacrifice. Does that make sense? Okay. And this took place right after the Feast of Unleavened Bread. As a matter of fact, some scholars think that they're kind of interchangeable because if you continue reading there in Leviticus 23, you find it just kind of fits in the calendar that the first time that you would offer these first fruits was the first Sabbath after you celebrated the Passover. And so there's some discussion on whether or not that was the actual Sabbath day, or once you got to the end of the Feast of Unleavened Bread and counted that as a Sabbath day and move on from there. There's different opinions on that, and I know for most of you that really doesn't matter. But it's just to let us know when this time of year this happened. The other reason that we know this probably happened in the spring is when you drop down, again, this won't be on the screen, but if you drop down to Leviticus 23 and verse 15, we're going to talk about this in a couple weeks, we're going to find the Feast of Weeks, or what we often refer to as Pentecost, being talked about. And you count 50 days from the time when you offer the wave offering, okay? And so this is talked about here in Leviticus 23. It would be one of the first feasts or festivals that you would celebrate in the spring, similar to, you know, around the same time as the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Now, there is another celebration of first fruits that is also described. And we find that in the book of Deuteronomy. So in Deuteronomy chapter 26, if you go two books over from Leviticus, you get to Deuteronomy 26, there's this description of an offering of first fruits. But it's a little bit different than what's talked about with the feast or the festival of first fruits. And here's what God tells his people there in Deuteronomy 26. Moses says, take some of the first fruits of all that you produce from the soil of the land that the Lord your God has given you and put them in a basket and then go to the place the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name. So what's the difference here? We're not just taking the first harvest of the first grain that grew up. What are we taking this time? All of it. Everything that is produced. Everything that I grew this year, no matter what the crop, all the different crops, all the different things, I'm going to put that all in a basket and I'm going to bring that to God. So, J-Dub, can you hand me that real quick? Thank you, sir. So, it may not necessarily be a basket like this, but you would take some of the grains that you got, and you would take your olives, and you would take your grapes, and you would take, I don't know, whatever fruit trees that you had, and you would throw those things into this basket. And you would go to the tabernacle or eventually to the temple, and you would give that to the priest, and you would offer it in a basket to the priest, and the priest would hold it up before God and then go place it in front of the altar. Now, during that whole process, as you're giving your first fruits, if you continue, again, this isn't going to be on the screen, but if you continue to read there in Deuteronomy 26, during that whole process, while you're presenting your first fruits to God, you're also required to recite a very abbreviated version of the story of how God set your ancestors free from slavery and brought them out of Egypt. And so while you're offering this to the priest and while he is taking it from you and offering it to God, you're saying, we had an ancestor. His name was Jacob. He went with his family down to Egypt. And they multiplied and they became a mighty nation, but they were enslaved to Egypt. But then God, with his miracles, with his plagues, he set the people free, and we came through the wilderness. He guided us through the wilderness and he brought us to this land, and here we are today. And I'm bringing some of the produce of that land that God gave to me and gave to my ancestors. Now, that's not word for word what it was, but you see it there in Deuteronomy 26 when you read through it. And it wasn't just the one sheaf, it was all the produce, everything that you had produced. And we assume that offering of first fruits probably happened later on in the fall. Because more of your crops, more of your wine, your grapes, your olives, the things that would be produced in that part of the world would be harvested later on after the summer, typically. Also, that particular offering of all of your first fruits seems to correlate with the Feast of Tabernacles or the Feast of Booths. We're going to get to that one too here in a couple weeks. But part of what is described there, if you go back, I'm going to bounce you back to Leviticus chapter 23 and verse 39, as God is describing the Feast of Tabernacles that we'll talk about, the Feast of Booths, he says that's going to be on the 15th day of the seventh month, after you've gathered your crops. So all the things you produce, all the harvest that you take, and you take all that, you put it in the basket, probably in the fall, and you present that to the priest. And you celebrate what God had allowed you to produce. And this continued to be a tradition for years to come. When you look through Israel's history, this is something that they celebrated, except for the times that they walked away from God and started worshiping other gods and worshiping other idols. And then they would forget about offering the first fruits, and they would forget about thanking God. Or if they did even offer first fruits, they would offer it to some other idol or some other god instead of Jehovah God. Until they would have a ruler or a leader that would come forward and say, let's get back to where we once were. Let's get back to worshiping God again. And then they would get back on track and start these traditions again. As a matter of fact, in the book of 2 Chronicles, there's a description of Hezekiah becoming king over the nation of Judah and reinstituting the Feast of First Fruits because it hadn't been celebrated in so long. And that continued to be a tradition until the people of God were eventually conquered by the Babylonian Empire because God allowed them to receive the full consequences for walking away from him, for rejecting him and following other gods. And they spent 70 years in captivity. And when they were finally allowed to come back to their homeland, to come back to the land that God had originally given them, and they rebuilt the temple and they rebuilt the walls around the city of Jerusalem that had been destroyed by the Babylonians. In the book of Nehemiah, it describes how once the temple was rebuilt and once the walls were rebuilt, they celebrated the Feast of First Fruits. While they were rebuilding, while they were trying to carve out their lives once again and trying to reestablish themselves as this nation again, they planted crops. They had to take care of themselves. They had to provide for themselves. But they still offered those first fruits, and they didn't walk away from that for generations to come. Matter of fact, by the time you get into Jesus' day, Jesus and his family, you know, Joseph and Mary probably celebrated the Feast of First Fruits. Because even in Jesus' day, people would bring their crops. They would bring the best of what they had produced. They would bring it to the temple in Jerusalem. And you had a lot of people in Jesus' day that weren't farmers. They didn't grow a whole lot of crops. They probably lived in towns and cities and villages. But even those people would still bring the best of what they had. They would bring the first, you know, if they sold wine, if they sold olive oil, they would bring the first batch of that for that particular year after the Passover and after the Feast of Unleavened Bread. They would bring that to the temple. If they were like Joseph and they were a carpenter, some kind of craftsman, some kind of tradesman, they would bring something of monetary value. The first item that they sold, they would bring that money to the temple, and they would worship God in that way. If you continue to read through the part of the Bible that we call the New Testament, there's still this analogy that's made multiple times about first fruits. Christians are described as the first fruits of God. Because even though we are flawed and we have blemishes and we are not the best, God makes us the best through the blood of his son Jesus and through his spirit that is living in us. And there's multiple authors, multiple New Testament writers that refer to us as Christians as being God's first fruits, as being the best of what he has in spite of ourselves. Paul describes Jesus as the first fruits of the resurrection in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Because in a culture back in that time that believed that this seed that you put in the ground had no life to it. It was dead, and you bury it in the ground. But then, by the miracle of God, life comes forth. And Paul says, that was Jesus. Jesus was dead. He was buried. And new life came forth when he rose from the grave. And Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 says, Jesus is the first fruits, the first one and the best one of those who will be raised from the dead. And that's going to happen with us one day when he comes back to get us. I hope I haven't confused you too much. I'm trying to lay out this information about first fruits because it's just not something that we talk about a whole lot in churches nowadays, at least not in the churches that I've been a part of. And I want us to understand the concept. And I want us to understand how important it was for God and for his people. And God, it was so important to God that God circled this day on the calendar and said, don't forget to do this. Every single year, you take the time to bring the first and the best of what the land has produced and you offer it to me. You give it to me. Don't forget that. Make that day special. Make it important. And even though we don't have to celebrate the festival of first fruits today, I think it's still important to us as the people of God. I think it's important for us to understand what it was that this celebration, this time of worship, this holy day really represented. Because you see, the first fruits, first of all, it celebrates new beginnings. First fruit celebrates new beginnings. This holy day helped God's people to celebrate the start of something new. It's new life. It's new hope. You live in a culture that throughout the wintertime, everything is dark, everything is dreary, everything is decaying, everything is dying. And then you get into the springtime, and all of a sudden there's new life, which brings with it new hope and looking forward to the future. There's this concept of taking something that appeared to be dead and now it's alive and celebrating that and worshiping that. And worshiping that because of who God is and because of what God does. Because our God is a God of life. Our God is a God that breathes life into dead things. Our God is a God that creates life out of death. He always has. He continues to do that now. That even in our lives nowadays when we have when we have dying faith, God can breathe life back into that. When we have marriages that are on life support, God can rescue that and breathe life into that. When we have addictions and sins and habits that are causing us to just decay from the inside and causing our hearts to just die, God can rescue that. God can create something new from that. God can give us brand new life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That's who God is. That's what God does. And God never wants us to forget that. Paul describes God this way in Romans chapter 4 and verse 17, where he says, our God is the God who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that were not. First fruits was not just about celebrating new crops. First fruits is about remembering and celebrating that we have new life. That no matter what choices we've been making, no matter what circumstances we've been enduring, that we can have a new beginning, that we can have a new start, that God can constantly renew and create something new from us and for us. And first fruits help to remind God's people of that. First fruits requires sacrifice. Bringing the first of my crops, bringing the best of my crops, that required sacrifice. If I'm living in a culture where I have to grow whatever it is I'm going to feed my family, then taking the first and the best of that and offering it, sacrificing it to God, that's a sacrifice. If I'm taking the first and the best of what I produce, if what I produce, if I'm a farmer and I have to sell my products in the market to provide for my family, if I have some other trade and I have to work and to sell things to provide for my family, if I have to repair things and do things to help people, if I'm a fisherman and I have to sell those fish to provide for my family, to provide for myself, to take the first and the best of whatever it is that I'm producing, whatever it is I'm doing in my life, whatever money I have gained, and give that to God, that's a sacrifice. It costs people something to celebrate first fruits. And that's what God wanted. He didn't want people to become self-reliant. He didn't want people, His people, to think that it was all because of their effort and their energy and their talent and their ability. And He wanted to remind them it wasn't their stuff in the first place. He's given those things, and I need to be willing to sacrifice those things and trust that when I let go of this thing that I highly value, God's going to take care of me anyway. God's going to continue to provide for me. God's going to continue to rescue me. And folks, that's what God still wants from us today. A willingness to give up the things that we put so much value on and trust that God is still going to provide. God wants us to sacrifice our money. And I know there's some of you that, as soon as we started talking about first fruits, you've probably heard sermons before that use first fruits. The preacher used first fruits to talk about giving. Here we go. The preacher's going to talk about tithing. Don't worry, I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time here. But how willing are we to let go of the money that God has blessed us with? To give that back to Him, to give that to His church, to sacrifice some of our finances so that God can bless other people with it. And there's some of us that do that. We give on a regular basis, but how much of it is a sacrifice? Because there's so many of us that, okay, I'll give to God, but you know, I got to pay my bills, and we got this trip that we got to go on, and I really need this stuff that I ordered on Amazon, and I got this, I need savings. I mean, you got to provide, you know, hold up for a rainy day. And then I'll give God some money too. Did I step on any toes? Stepped on mine. I mean, we'll go so far sometimes as we're trying to figure out what we're going to give God to say, is that before or after taxes? What does God want? He wants our first fruits right off the top. A willingness to give, a willingness to sacrifice, a willingness to say, man, God, there are some things that I could do with this, but I want to see what You'll do with it. So I'm going to give it to You. That's the kind of heart that God is looking for with our money and with our time and with our stuff and with our pride and with our comfort zones. God is saying, would you be willing to let go of those things that you want to hold on to so tightly and sacrifice those things to me and trust that I'm going to take care of you anyway? That I'm going to do something good with what it is you're sacrificing, and I'm going to provide for you anyway. It says something about my heart if I'm only willing to give God my leftovers instead of my first fruits. Because first fruits requires sacrifice. And the promise is, Paul gives us a promise in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 11. He says, you'll be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. God is going to give me what I need and going to give me what I can use to sacrifice and bless other people with. But I got to have a heart that's willing to sacrifice. See, first fruits is about new beginnings, and first fruits requires sacrifice, and first fruits also generates thankfulness. God wanted his people to bring the first and the best of what they produced so that they would remember who it was that gave it to them in the first place, who it was that actually produced and provided those things, and to be thankful to him for it. It was an exercise in gratitude. It was an exercise in humility and recognizing I didn't do all this by myself. God provided these things for me. And it's actually God that produced these things. And so going back to what I was talking about before, when God in Deuteronomy 26 tells his people, bring the first fruits of all that you have produced this year. Bring that and sacrifice that to God. And as a person would stand there with his basket and be talking about how God rescued us from slavery in Egypt and he brought us through the wilderness and he brought us to this land and he gave me and he gave my ancestors this land and I've planted these crops and it's God that has produced these plants out of the soil. It says in Deuteronomy 26 and verse 10, as you're wrapping up that whole rehearsed speech that you would give when you offer the sacrifice, you wrap it up by saying, and now I bring the first fruits of the soil that you, Lord, have given me. I mean, if you got your Bibles, I would take a pen and I would underline that part. Because this is what God wanted his people to remember and to be thankful for. I want you, God, to have what you have given me. I'm giving you back some of what you have given me. It's not me. I didn't do this. You did this. You gave this to me. And I'm just giving some of it back. And this is what we still need to do, folks. We still need to be in the habit of recognizing and acknowledging that all the stuff and all the talent and all the time that I have is from God. And I need to thank him for it. I need to acknowledge that and be thankful for it and be in the habit of using those things for his purposes. And see, these are just some of the things that first fruits did for God's people and should continue to do for us today. To help us celebrate new beginnings and new starts and recognizing that God can always give us a fresh start. To remind us that we need to be willing to sacrifice. We need to be willing to let go of some of the things that we put so much value on. That we need to be thankful. We need to have a heart of gratitude for what God has given us. And the key thing about this is, for God's people, he wanted them to do this once a year. Every year, you come to worship me and bring some of what I have given you and be thankful for it and recognize that I'm the one that gave it to you. And let's worship together. But Jesus kind of reframed this whole concept in his teaching. See, in Luke chapter 9, verse 23, Jesus says this, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, there's your sacrifice, and take up their cross, how often? Daily, and follow me. See how Jesus reframed it a little bit? It's not once a year. It's not just once a year that I come to God and go, okay, God, thanks for everything over the last year. Appreciate it. And here's a little bit back for you. Not that that would be a bad thing. But Jesus says, I want my followers every single day to say, God, here's everything that I have. And it's yours in the first place. And I'm willing to let go of it and let you use it and use me however you want to. We're still supposed to be offering first fruits. The first of the best of what we have and who we are. Not just once a year, every single day. So how do I do that? How do I get in that kind of habit? How do I start having that kind of consistent mindset? Here's what I gotta do very quickly. Number one, I need to find ways to serve. I need to find ways to serve my church family, to serve my community. I need to keep my eyes open and look for opportunities to take what God has given me and bless someone else with it. Get the focus off myself, get the focus off my stuff, get the focus off my desires and off of my comfort zone, and just say, okay, God, open my eyes and let me see how I can worship you, how I can bless other people and bring honor to your name by giving the stuff that you have given me, by using the stuff that you have given me for your purposes, to bless other people. Paul says it this way in Galatians 6 and verse 10. I've shared this verse with our church family before. He says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. As we have opportunity. Not, hey, we might have an opportunity. Hey, the chance might come every so often. Paul says, open your eyes and look. You're going to have opportunities to do what? Good. To do good for all people. So be ready for it. Be ready to serve. Be ready to donate. Be ready to volunteer. Be ready to lend a hand. Be ready to just sit and listen. Choose to serve. And the more that I have that attitude and that heart and that desire to serve other people, the more willing I am to let go of the stuff that God has given me. Because I can see how God can use it to bless somebody else. I got to serve. I got to sacrifice. I got to be willing to give up some things that I truly value. Yeah, but I really like my money. Well, then I might need to give some of it up. I really value my time. Maybe I need to spend some time helping other people and not just focusing on myself. I like spending time with my friends. We have a good time together. We count on each other. We lean on each other. Great. You may need to widen your circle a little bit. I may need to start connecting with some more people who need connections like I already have. First fruits is about letting go of the things that I am comfortable with and the things that I value. Sacrificing those things in order to praise God, in order to bless others. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 16, the author of Hebrews says, don't forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. It needs to cost me something. It needs to cost me something to serve others. There needs to be something I'm more inclined to hold on to that I choose to let go of to bless somebody else. That's what God wants from me. That's the heart that God wants me to have. And finally, I need to fully surrender. If I'm going to be consistent in offering the best of myself and the best of what I have to God, and to be consistently thankful for what it is that he provides and consistently trust that he's going to continue to take care of me, then I have to surrender. I have to surrender myself. I have to surrender my finances. I have to surrender my time and my plans and my agenda and my goals. All those things are surrendered to him. And he consistently asks myself and asks the question, God, where is it that you're calling me? Where is it that you're leading me? And what is keeping me from going that direction? In 2 Corinthians, in the book of 2 Corinthians, in chapter 8, Paul is challenging the church in Corinth to be consistent in their giving. They had said they were going to give to help this church in need, and he's a little worried that they're not actually going to follow through. And he talks about another church. He talks about another church as he's encouraging the Corinthians to follow through. He talks about this church in Macedonia, probably the city of Philippi. He says, let me tell you what they did. And he talks about their giving and how they gave, even in a situation where they were in poverty, they still gave towards this other church that needed help. And they begged Paul for the opportunity to give. How many of us have that kind of attitude? Oh, please, oh, please, oh, please, let me write a check. Some of us struggle with that, wouldn't we? Some of us would rather write a check than donate our time. Hey, we need some volunteers. We need some help. How many of us are begging to go hang out in children's ministry right now? Please, pick me, please. What are a lot of us going to do? I'll write you a check. Hire somebody. Take care of those kids, right? This church is saying, Paul, let us help. We're begging. Please, let us help. And here's how Paul described it and described their hearts in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 5. He says, they exceeded our expectations. They gave themselves first of all to the Lord, and then by the will of God also to us. I love the way Paul says this. What did the Macedonians give first? Themselves. They gave themselves first. Their first fruits that they offered to God was them. And that's the kind of surrender that God is looking for. So let me, I know we need to wrap up, but I want us to understand what this kind of looks like nowadays. Because I don't think many of us would think to ourselves, I'm going to get a whole bunch of my tomatoes or my cucumbers and wave those before God and say, here, God, this is yours. That doesn't resonate with a lot of us. So the first fruits that God's people were supposed to give was the best and the first of everything that they had. Well, what does that look like for us? Well, that means I take my car. Lord, here's my vehicle. Where do you want me to go? Who do you want me to give a ride to? Who can I pick up? How can I use my vehicle for your glory? Here's my house, God. Who do I need to open my home to? Who do I need to host? Who needs a bed? Who needs some groceries? Who can I help by opening my home? Yeah, it's my home and I like it a lot and I like the way that everything's laid out, but God, somebody might need a bed. Somebody might need a place to just visit and spend some time. Here's my house, God. What do you want me to do with my phone, Lord? Who do you want me talking to? What social media things do you want me looking at or not looking at? What am I binging that maybe I shouldn't be? What are the things I need to let go of? They're so, oh my goodness, this thing is so important to me. But God, I wanted to use it for your glory. Here's my wallet, Lord. You're the one that gave me the job. You're the one that gave me the paycheck. You're the one that gave me these finances. And I've been holding tight to this, and I want to sacrifice it. I want to let it go. So here you go, Lord. Oh. Here's my friends, God. Here's my friendships. I mean, I care about these people. We had a lot of fun together. We laugh. We go on trips together. But God, I want to use my relationships. I want to use these people. I don't want to use them in a negative way. I don't want to take advantage of them. I want to be a blessing to them, and I want me and my friends to be a blessing to others. How can I do that, God? I'm offering my friendships to you. Here's my family, Lord. And I care a lot about these people. They mean the world to me. And I would sacrifice anything for them, but God, how can you use my family? How can you use my family to bless somebody else? What do we need to do together as a family to be a blessing to somebody else? I'm offering that to you. Here's my marriage, Lord. I care about my spouse more than anything else in this world. What can we do? What can we do to bless other people? We want to give our marriage to you, God, and let you use it however you want to. I like my comfort zone, Lord. I like feeling safe. I like feeling secure. I like staying in my bubble. I like being comfortable. But I'm willing to be stretched. I'm willing to volunteer for things I've never volunteered for before. I'm willing to go places that you're putting on my heart and bless people that make me uncomfortable, because I want to offer that to you. Here's my offering, Lord. Because all this is yours. You're the one that gave these things and these people to me. So I just want to give them back and say, help me use the blessings you've given me to bless other people. Here's my question, folks. Of all the things in the basket to give our God, what's the thing that we struggle to put in there? What's the thing that you struggle with most to let go of? What's the first fruit that you have the hardest time offering? What's the one thing that God says, you know, you're giving a lot, but you're still holding on to this one thing, and it's got control of your heart? Here's what the Macedonians did. It wasn't the crops, it wasn't the money, it wasn't the stuff. The Macedonian said, here I am, Lord. I'm offering myself. Use me however you want to. Folks, if you've been confused by or have tuned out everything else that I've said today, this is what first fruits is all about for God's people today. That I give myself first to God. And when I choose to surrender myself and offer myself and sacrifice myself to God, guess what? All this other stuff, it just follows. It just follows. But until I'm willing to fully surrender my heart to God and surrender myself to Him and truthfully say, God, use me and take me wherever you want me to go, I'll still struggle to give Him the first and the best. So we're going to stand up in a second. We're going to sing a song. And it's a prayer to God. It's a prayer to God about our hearts. It's a prayer to God asking Him to help us be willing to sacrifice, to be willing to let go, to be willing to be grateful for what He has given us, but also willing to give those things back to Him to use however He chooses. And as we're singing that song, if you recognize that where you're at in life right now is not connected to God, you're welcome to come forward and say, I have let a lot of other things in my life become more important. I have given myself to this addiction, to this habit, to my anger and resentment, to my past, to this relationship, to my lust, to my greed, whatever it is. And I'm tired of it. I'm tired of offering myself to something else. I'm ready to fully give myself to God, but I need help with that. You're welcome to come to the front and share that with us. And we will pray with you, we will pray for you, we will do whatever we can to help you give yourself to God. We want to help do that this morning. But only you can decide for that, for sure. Only you can decide and know what you've put in your basket and what you're holding on to. If there's something that you need to let go of, feel free to share that here. And come forward while together we stand and sing.